Another concern that feels like first and foremost on a lot of people's minds is future readiness. Not only do we have these issues of students who aren't making the grade in terms of proficiency, but we're also hearing from employers that the kids that schools are sending them don't have the skills that they need in order to be ready for the job. Right? So they lack skills in communication, collaboration, critical thinking. That really does beg the question, is what we're doing working? Too many of our students are not proficient, and students don't have a sense of how it applies. So the question becomes, are there alternatives? Hey everybody, I am Kim Yaris, and I am here with my colleague Jennifer Chevalier, and we are back for another episode of Change Starts Here Research Conversations. So welcome to all of our listeners, and hello, Jennifer.
Hey Kim, great to see you again.
Good to see you. All right, so you know what? Today our episode is going to be about a type of silo that I am going to guess that most people have never heard of before, because it really is something I feel like we have has come as a result of the conversations we've been having off camera. And so it is something that we are calling curriculum silos. And listeners, we are going to work up to what those are. But before we get there, let me just ask you, Jennifer, can you describe your time as an elementary teacher? Like, what did curriculum look like? You know, as in, how was it conceptualized and delivered to students?
Well, mainly there were state standards, and then there's a list of acceptable curriculum that could be adopted. And so a review process took place in the district to adopt the curriculum that the teachers and the leaders of the district felt were best. So they were organized around the standards, and instruction was really kind of segmented, right? So math was one block of the day, reading would be another block of the day, along those lines. How about you in middle school, Kim?
Yeah, so I feel like it was very similar to that, right? So we had periods, and, you know, each period was a chunk of the day. And during that period, I was delivering standards-based curriculum, you know, and when I say standards-based curriculum, it's, you know, students in this grade are expected to learn this skill by the end of the year, or by the, you know, with each lesson. So, and, you know, we had X amount of time every day to work towards these standardized skills. So, you know, my question, or I should say our question, is, has this been working? Mm-hmm. You know, we've been doing, I mean, this goes back my entire career. Would you say, fair enough, that it went back your entire career too?
Absolutely.
So the question is this serving students?
I mean, I think from a data perspective and talking to students and educators and families, it does not seem to be effective. We're all giving as much effort as possible. And still we have about a third of our students being proficient in reading and math. And I know that's not what anyone wants. And it seems like what we're doing just isn't working, and we need to explore a new approach here.
You know, and to that, I will also add that another concern that feels like first and foremost on a lot of people's minds is future readiness, right? So not only do we have these issues of students who aren't making the grade in terms of proficiency, but we're also hearing from employers that the kids that schools are sending them don't have the skills that they need in order to be ready for the job, right? So they lack skills in communication, collaboration, critical thinking. That really does beg the question, right? Is what we're doing working? And I feel like as a classroom teacher, I never question that approach. Like, it just seemed like the way to go. And so this is where the idea of a curriculum silo enters into the picture. So this is something you and I have been talking about, Jennifer. Do you want to define for our audience what this is?
Sure. I think this is something that's really unique to the field of education, right? We know that silos exist in all kinds of organizations, but curriculum silos are really causing a fragmentation of how information is given to students, right? So they get little nuggets of information during different time periods. But when we have this approach, really the interrelatedness and complexity of information is not hitting the students. They're getting more surface level knowledge, and they're generally not having the ability to apply what they're learning in that integrated way through a real world approach. And so curriculum silos are the like segmentation, and we're pushing back against that, I think, in this episode, right, Kim?
Yeah. So, you know, you saying that takes me right back to my time in the classroom where kids would say, why do we have to learn this, right? They oftentimes did not see the relevance of the learning that of the things that they were being taught. And so I think we are putting out there this idea of curriculum silos, right? And the silo is, how does it apply to that real world learning? So we've been having this very strict kind of almost standards driven approach. But yet we have this issue that too many of our students are not proficient, and students don't have a sense of how it applies. So the question becomes, are there alternatives?
I definitely think there are. And, you know, this is going to push some people out of their comfort zone, but I think a lot of us from the field could say that there are always too many standards to cover in any one year to do it with any kind of depth, right? And so we're obligated to teach all standards as professionals. So we often just tear through a bunch of informational type of standards, but that doesn't give us the opportunity to create these meaningful learning experiences where students really get to go deep and practice these future readiness skills that we are seeing in the headlines over and over. I heard you mention that earlier, Kim. And I mean, it's every few days I see a headline about how ill-equipped the students are when they are graduating and heading off into the workforce. And so what if we anchored the whole school day around these workforce readiness skills and then integrated the content area information through the application of different projects that are meaningful, relevant, and engaging?
Okay, you saying that is taking me back to my days when I was a junior in high school and I was an exchange student in Belgium.
Cool.
And when I went, yeah. So I was there for the year, and my year started at something called hotel school. And hotel school is exactly as it sounds. It was a whole entire school dedicated to preparing students to work in the tourist industry,
gotcha,
the travel industry. And so while they were there, they were, you know, there was a big emphasis on learning languages, on communication. You know, one of my strongest memories was I was in a cooking class and I learned the chef's way of chopping an onion. So, you know, when it comes to that question of future readiness, right? So those students were being led with the vision for what their future was going to be. And the curriculum followed what the vision of the skills that they would need in order to be able to thrive in this industry. And so that's all the learning that was happening there.
Wow. Well, that is a true life skill that I have not mastered. I would love for you to teach me how to chop an onion correctly, because I'm always like gushing tears and all the pieces are different sizes. But what I really heard in your example beyond that is relevance, right? Students are showing an interest in something, and so the learning fits what they're interested in a real world way. They're able to apply the skills and knowledge that they're learning through meaningful activities and events. And I think that's what we're getting at here for sure. I can remember one year teaching, there were three of us in different grade levels, and we each had a different content specialization. And we decided to try something, even though we were across different grade levels, where we created a project around a river that was contaminated in our area. And it was super relevant to kids, right? Because we live here in Florida and water is everything. Everybody's out on the water all the time, and the toxicity levels in the river would get too high for it to be safe for all of us to use. So it's definitely something that's relevant to the students. We integrated all of the content areas together across the grade levels. And so it gave an opportunity for fifth graders to practice things they learned back in third grade. It gave opportunities for third graders to be mentored and taught by fifth graders. And, you know, we had everything. Obviously, science standards were core to this, right? Because we're learning about ecosystems and water quality and, you know, what influences the quality of water. Then we had math, where the students were analyzing data from the scientists, because they would do readings every day and they would be charting and graphing it. So that was really interesting to them, trying to figure out why it went up and down over the days. You could imagine, as someone who's from the literacy world, how literacy may have connected there, right? Lots of reading about it, nonfiction, even fiction about different students that have risen up in their communities and made a change to help students learn that they can advocate for things that are important to them. And this integrated approach, even though it was some more work up front, and it sounds a lot like project-based learning, which that's nothing new. What was new about this is it allowed us teachers to really focus on those future readiness skills, the collaboration, the conflict resolution, the learning how to speak in front of other people or communicate information correctly, be adaptable when things weren't working the way they had planned. And it was so powerful for me as an educator, because I felt like I was really equipping the students for life, not just to be able to do a couple skills and memorize some information.
So what you just described, in addition to like hitting upon all of those super important executive functions, which feel like so critically important when we talk about that future readiness, like if students were doing a lot of that and we were leading with that, I feel like those skills would be so rock solid. But the other thing that I heard in what you were saying was motivation. Like, if I was a kid in your class, I'd be like, oh, I want to go to school because I want to do this. Did you experience that at all?
We did, you know, because we worked across three different classrooms, we just left the classrooms open, and they were hitting all the subject areas through the project. So we really let them organize their time, which gave them a lot of empowerment, right? They felt like they had control over what they were learning. If they felt like doing something related to math in the morning, then they could, but another group may have chosen to do some reading during that time. And so it gave them a voice in their learning experience. And one of the coolest outcomes is we were hearing from parents like crazy that students were going home evenings and weekends and asking to work on the project when they weren't at school. And that is not a common experience for families, unfortunately. But what if it could be? What if kids were so energized about their learning all the time that it just spilled into out of school time?
So what you just said right there, I feel like is cuts to the core of every educator. That is what we all dream of, right? Like that's it. And I think that kids are naturally wired that way. That is, you know, or human beings are naturally wired that way. We're curious. We want to know about the world, you know, so learning is fun. It feels like it doesn't always feel that way for kids, but yet it can be. And so breaking a curriculum silo is about rethinking the way in which we approach our curriculum so that we can make it more engaging and more relevant for students. And it feels like leading with these future readiness skills is one way that we could do that.
Absolutely. And I just want to point out, this has to start at the systems level, right? Because educators don't have the latitude mm-hmm. all the time to really create these types of experiences for students, again, because mm-hmm. of the demands of all the standards they're required to cover, the curriculum that they're supposed to follow. Usually there's a district pacing guide. And so this has to start at the top. We have to reimagine everything from the systems level to allow our educators and our students to thrive. Any last thoughts before we wrap it up, Kim?
No, I feel like we've covered it.
Okay, awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us for this episode. During our next episode, we will have a special guest on, Amy Dittmar, an assistant superintendent who is dabbling in some of this work, creating those future readiness experiences for students. And I'm super excited to hear from her. So please make sure to join us for that and like and subscribe to Change Starts Here so you know when that episode drops.